Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security. I am joined today by an information security analyst and detection engineer here at CIS, Kennedy Ortega. Kennedy, how are you?
I'm doing good, and yourself?
Doing fantastic. Thank you. And again, thank you for taking the time. One of the things we wanted to do today for the audience was talk about the next generation, as it were, the up-and-coming leaders, thought leaders in this space. And Kennedy, as part of my team, we thought it'd be a great opportunity to talk about, you know, your background, how you got into cybersecurity, and really what drew you to the field of cybersecurity.
Yeah, so I graduated just last year, so very recently, from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, where I got my Bachelor of Science in Cyber Intelligence and Security with a minor in Mandarin Chinese, which might be a little different than you're used to just with that weird minor. But I had previously also worked with the university as an IT technician. I was also a dispatcher with our campus security. I participated in different clubs like student government, Greek life, an ethical hacking club. I also went to community college before that, where I did the Send Balloon project that was funded by NASA, which was so awesome. I absolutely adored it. And I would say what drew me to this field was kind of a weird start, where I originally went to university double majoring in aerospace engineering and space physics, which is quite different than cybersecurity. I had kind of geared myself towards that direction. I had done that balloon project when I was in community college. And so I really thought that this was something that I was passionate about. And then when I went to university, took those classes, it was kind of heartbreaking because I was like, I don't see myself doing this a lot. I looked at the different colleges that my university had to offer. I saw cybersecurity. I had previously heard about it a little bit. And I decided, you know, let me do some more research. And I think that it is a very selfless field in the sense that you are helping defend a lot of different sectors, whether that be hospitals from different hospital attacks, it could be government agencies. Everybody is really affected by it. I mean, look at phishing attempts that you can have, both for children, middle-aged, adults. Everybody is susceptible to cybersecurity attacks. So I think it's a really important field that has a lot of different benefits to it. It is also ever-changing. Every day, there's new vulnerabilities that are found, and there's really a lot of different things that you can do, whether that be a personal benefit for small businesses, large corporations, international government agencies. Everybody needs it.
Absolutely. Yeah. In some cases, the selfless element is true to our mission here at CIS, right? And it aligns to those elements, really a calling in some cases. And, you know, I fell into something very similar. So I'm going to provide my own perspectives as well as, you know, with Kennedy, how I got in the field, probably an old timer now with 20 years in here. And so I had fallen into this with respect to Sarbanes-Oxley. So in 2004, basically there was a need to do an assessment for a publicly traded company. And I just got the opportunity. I'd always really wanted to go. So I did IT auditing for many years. And then it was, this element of cybersecurity needs attention. I'll do it. And ultimately that's what led me there. So this is good. But now, in your first year, Kennedy, as you know, a cybersecurity analyst, what are some of the biggest challenges that you faced?
I think the biggest problem that I've had is imposter syndrome, which is, for those of you that don't know, a self-doubt of intellect, skills, or accomplishments among high-achieving individuals. I think that as somebody who is new to the field and as somebody that works with a lot of people that have been in this field for 10, 20 years, it's difficult knowing that I am so new since I just started this last year in the field. I did get that, you know, my degree, and I still was successful with that, but I'm still so new, and there's so many different things that you can do, and there are so many different elements that you can be an expert in. And so I kind of felt like a newbie and kind of like I didn't really belong. And it made me very, very nervous, I would say. But I had to kind of find myself. And that's something that I'm still doing now, is finding myself and learning that I am where I am because I can do it. I earned my place here and I should be confident in that. And so I would say that's probably the biggest challenge that I have faced and am currently facing. I mean, you're so awesome, Sean. So it really gives me inspiration as well at the same time.
Well, I face the same issues as well. It doesn't go with age, unfortunately. Is when you get into, you know, certain positions, and you're absolutely right that there's the self-doubt piece, but then it's one of the things, you know, I look at is the accomplishments. And we'll just, you know, you for an example was coming into the organization, fundamentally excellent knowledge, and now it's the opportunities, right, to explore and express, you know, certain elements of where you want to build that expertise. And, you know, one of the things I had seen and where it leads you, you know, down the path was we'd happened to be in the same CTF. You know, we'd done a small internal, we was looking at that. And just the thought process was, okay, now here's an analytical mind that, hey, Kennedy, what do you think about this? And seeing that and demonstrating. And I think it's giving the opportunities to be able to, one, hopefully remove any of that self-doubt, but then also that encouragement and motivation. Very, very important for anybody working and bringing in new analysts into an organization, especially those in your first year. You know, this becomes the formative year of now starting then to define the specialties. Like, as you mentioned, number of different areas you can go in the space. And I think you've giving the opportunity to explore will certainly help and, you know, build a knowledge and then ultimately the integration into career paths. And, you know, I still struggle with that. There's always something to learn in this space, right? And if you're not a lifelong learner, I think that's going to be a huge challenge. If you're not ready to learn on a daily basis, that's a harsh reality. Just thinking, oh, it's cybersecurity. I sit at a desk. I look at logs and I do something, right? It's a lot different than that. So some of those elements as well, Kennedy. What do you think?
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, just like you said, it's ever changing. So you need to be able to learn every day because it's going to be new.
Yeah, it's always going to be new. So as we go down the learning curve in respect to my next thought here, is what resources were most helpful? Is it the educational element that you received? Is it self-learning? Is it working with others? What was did you see was the most helpful in your first year?
I think it's a combination of all of those. I mean, especially within my first year, it had to be constant knowledge, because going from university to a specific role, university kind of set my basics down. It set, you know, the building blocks that I needed, and going into a specific role, it's, oh no, you need to be, you know, learning this path down and you need to be going into and diving into those kind of subjects a lot more thoroughly. And that's something that was kind of a shock to me, was getting into that mindset of these building blocks in these classes that I took, this is not all of it. There's still a lot more to learn. And so some of the things that I found really beneficial was some Udemy trainings, especially like you were mentioning, Capture the Flags. Those really, I mean, they keep me on top of my toes. They're free most of the time. And so you're able to kind of have a new way of thinking when you're doing those. TryHackMe. I really like doing TryHackMe, even attending some virtual talks. I know the SAN Summit, that is a free online summit that you can attend. I love listening to those kind of talks as well. Just attending different conferences. I know there's Pancakes Con, which I think is really awesome, where you spend like the first 30 minutes talking about a cybersecurity subject, and the next 30 minutes is kind of talking about whatever you want. And I think that's really helpful for a lot of beginners. Trace Labs, that's a missing persons OSINT. And I think that's kind of a big passion of mine, is being able to use cybersecurity to help. Right now, I'm currently getting into Backdoors and Breaches, which is a game that anybody can play, and that helps you learn more about your incident response program and how you would also look into these kind of situations. And I would say the most important thing is staying up to date with the news and understanding what's going on in the world, because there are so many different vulnerabilities that are to be found, and just making sure you understand what's being the different companies or corporations that are being affected, and can that happen to you?
Oh, 100%, 100%. And also a podcast.
Of course.
just throwing it out there as a quick win for us. But no, really, I think the element that I attribute most to necessarily success is finding what works for you, right? Everybody's learning curve is a little bit different, right? I learn, you know, in this fashion, you know, I'm auditory or kinetic or visual, and being able to find the resource. Now, I find that I have combinations of all of those, kinetic being my favorite, as it were. But I find that I can abstract certain elements through, you know, some awesome books, some online courses, as you'd mentioned. We've taken some of the same courses, some of the SANS training that's available. I mean, unbelievable. And it gives us an opportunity to express and experience in that case. And again, going back to the CTF, and it was, I think doing these as teams is very, very important as well, because it just highlighted to me, there was a problem. And that you were working on another problem. I was looking at this problem. I'm like, I'm not really sure where this one's going. Kennedy walks in to this problem, looks and says, oh, I know exactly. This is a QR code. Boom, CyberChef, or whichever tool you use, output. And I was like, okay, this is awesome. And then it leads to other things, right? It's just such a great way, really, again, of thinking about those technical skills, Kennedy. And when you think about your role today, so where you were and where you are today in terms of building your expertise, what type of skills did you feel needed to be sharpened the quickest once you got into this role?
Yeah, so I think one of the big misconceptions about cybersecurity is that there's only a very broad aspect to it. And the building blocks, like I was talking about, are the only substance that you will get. Whereas kind of like what I was saying, where there are so many different fields that you can go into. And so going into my field, I knew as an information security analyst that I was going to need to be exposed a lot more to kind of like SIMs and logs, like you were saying. That was something that in my university, we had just went over, I think, in just forensic classes. And so understanding that applies to me a lot more was a really good eye-opener, I would say, learning some different applications and products that I would be using, because these are, again, very new to me. We didn't really have that much exposure to specific applications. So kind of understanding that I would need to be aware and start training with all of these different applications and products. And I would say also dealing with different operating systems. I only dealt with Windows. So kind of understanding and learning more about the different operating systems, because not everybody's going to have the same one.
That's right. Yeah, I really appreciate that, because that's the exposure element to different technologies, I think, is crucial. And again, coming into an organization, it may be, well, we just have this technology. Okay, so you utilize that and, you know, you build your capability in that space. But when you have distributed elements of different, you know, underlying operating systems, different technical applications that you're going to be using. And it was in that space, a small aside from when people come into the organization, and yourself, Kennedy, when it was looking through what we needed to build in our organization and the opportunities that existed, and this is, the title that I then had bestowed upon you of the detection engineer was, well, we've got the SIM. I think there's more we can be doing in that space. I think there's the machine learning element that we're working on right now. I think these are parts of what allow us to, one, assess opportunity where we see a need, but then also a desire on, respectfully, the analyst part to learn, grow, and have these opportunities. And looking for those and providing them, and just ultimately, you know, it's been Kennedy, can you do this? Of course I can. And here's the results. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal just to see what is brought to the table, even being relatively new to the underlying technology. It's, I think the aspect that I look at is the mindset, the willingness to learn, and the willingness to that trial and error, right? I'll try this. If it doesn't work, okay, on to the next. And we'll build success through experience. And again, this type of kinetic learning. But providing those opportunities, I would say, for those with opportunities in this field from a management leadership perspective, is making sure that those are available. This allows growth. This allows necessarily to motivate and to build a very, very competent skill set within an organization. And again, we've done that many times, Kennedy. We've been talking about, well, what's the next thing? What else do we need to be doing in this space? And the other one, and I'll flip it a little bit, because it's not just the technical skill, right? There's these what are called soft skills. I like to call them business skills. They are not soft. In my case, they're the hardest skills versus technical in order to master. But so, Kennedy, some of the business skills, what have you seen would be most important for you now? And then what would be, you think, important to invest now to develop as you build, you know, your career towards leadership?
I think adaptability and problem solving, kind of like what you're saying, being able to see the problems and learn to overcome them. And even though it may be a non-traditional way, kind of being able to adapt and figure out what is the best solution for us. I would say networking and teamwork. A lot of cybersecurity is joint teamwork with either another department or talking with a lot of different people. So being able to know the kind of different approaches that you needed to do, as well as being able to ask for help and know who to go to be able to get that help. And communication. I mean, there's only so much that you can do with a problem, but if you don't understand the problem to the fullest, then how are you going to be able to solve it? So making sure that you're able to not only communicate with someone about further questions that you may have, or just getting further clarification, but also being able to listen to them and hear what they're saying, I would say.
Wonderful. Absolutely. I will, again, this is not to embarrass Kennedy, but Kennedy had hosted yesterday a purple team exercise using backdoors and breaches, as she'd mentioned. Did a phenomenal job. And I think the public speaking element was, it was so good. A lot of people struggle with that. And I like what you're saying, you know, communication and being able to communicate clearly, because in this space, you can have all the technical skill in the world, but if you can't communicate that to a non-technical personnel, crowd, audience, it's going to be very, very difficult in order to achieve the maximum elements of, that you can respectfully in this space. And so what I saw yesterday, again, just another element of one, providing an opportunity. One, it was, again, just some excellent scenarios that we went through. And it gives that ability to, one, effectively communicate, build relevant skills in the space. And then one, you know, demonstrate. I think in some cases this helps, at least I hope it does, quell some of that imposter syndrome. You belong on that stage, right? You belong doing this type of work. And again, as mentioned previously, it's providing those opportunities. Those opportunities lead to success, lead to greater and further opportunity in the space, to the point where, you know, we've got our main dungeon master, as it were, with respect to our game here. And I think it's, you know, just emblematic of that development and those types of skills that really, really can help enhance both career projection, as it were, and velocity. Very, very important. Wonderful.
No, I agree. I think that the opportunities that I am able to be given, although some of them are a little out of the comfort zone, they give me the opportunity to be out of my comfort zone at the same time, because I'm able to get more exposure to different products, more exposure to different groups. And that ultimately is what helps me learn a lot more about this field.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And with that, we'll be right back after this quick break. Are you struggling to meet the standard of reasonableness in your cybersecurity efforts?
CIS Secure Suite comes with integrated cybersecurity tools and resources you can use to build a reasonable cyber defense program.
This will help you comply with U.S. state data privacy laws, and it will empower you to demonstrate you've implemented the necessary security measures to avoid liability in the event of a data breach.
Now through November 1st, save up to 20% on a new CIS Secure Suite membership using promo code RCD24.
Make your cyber defense reasonable.
Achieve it with CIS Secure Suite.
Visit www.cisecurity.org/CIS-Secure Suite to learn more.
Thank you. And let's jump back into the episode.
So now, as you've, you know, you've been on the cybersecurity journey now for a year. So starting out, coming into the position, did you have a clear idea of where you wanted your cybersecurity career to go compared to where you are today? Any thoughts there?
Nope. And I still don't know. I think that, and it's okay not to know. It really is. There's so many different things. Just think about it. There's software security. There's the SOC, cyber intelligence, pen testing, incident response, network security, cloud security, forensics, governance, risk, and compliance. And these are just naming a few. There's so many different avenues that you can go to that it's difficult to just choose one. And at the same time, you have to think about, do you want to go towards a more management path, or do you want to continue down a technical path? And these are questions that I think you just continue throughout your entire career. I know we were just talking about that the other day, is what's the next thing that you want to do? And so that's something that I think always stays in the back of my mind, is how do I see myself in 5 years? And I think that's a really good question to ask, and to see, to make sure that you are, one, progressing and not staying complacent, but two, that you're happy. And so ask me again in 1 day, 5 days, 1 month, a year, and I'm sure it'll be a different answer. I still might not know. I might have more of a clearer picture. It might change from 1 day to the next. But I think that's something that I've loved so far. And I'm really happy with the role that I have right now. And I think that I'm able to learn a lot. And once I feel like I am not, then I'll just move on. Ideally with the same team, but do other projects that I can see myself loving. And I think that's what the beauty of cybersecurity is there's so many different projects that you can add on to get even just a littlest bit of understanding with each of these paths that I've outlined, because it is a really joint effort with all the different fields.
Oh, it certainly is. And that's good. I think you're absolutely right. I don't think there should ever be, and we'll go into it in my next question, but mapping out your career path so precisely, I think, is a detriment, because you may lose opportunity to say, well, that's not contributive to this path, but that path could you take you to different elements of success, different elements of experience, and new opportunity. So I think it's always good to be agile in this space. And so I appreciate that. But to, I guess, to our producer of the podcast, David, it looks like we've got another series. I've got to talk to you tomorrow. In 5 days, a year, we'll keep the Kennedy update series going. But now, so let's go into then that question here of what is the recommendation for new analysts in terms of mapping a career path? Should it be set in stone? I'm going to be a pen tester. That's all I want to do. I'm not going to experience anything else. What detriments or what factors should they consider for necessarily long-term growth?
I would definitely say do the research and see what each of these fields have to offer. Because while you are able to kind of do these joint projects, they are still very different at the same time. And so knowing which of these different sectors that you may like, knowing which ones might not be for you, and it's okay for not all of these to be for you, the more specific that you can get, probably the better. And kind of always keeping that in the back of your mind, whether you want to do more of a management side, whether you want to do more of a technical side, whether you want to do, you know, software security versus network security, kind of just asking yourself to consider all these different paths and which skill sets would be most beneficial to you so that you're able to benefit either way, whether you do go into management or technical. And again, yeah, there's still the different kind of things that you can learn that would be beneficial for multiple paths, like OSINT. You can use that in almost every one of those. Coding, always you have those basic skills that can help you.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think it would also be to accept that the path may not have worked or maybe going in a different ways, to embrace it in some cases. You know, and when I think about where I would have been, my initial thoughts were coming into cybersecurity is red, right? I just want to pen test. I want to be, you know, what I portrayed in my mind as the Hollywood hacker, right?
Yeah.
And then when you get into the industry, it's, well, it doesn't often, you know, fit that paradigm. And then ultimately you adapt. But it's assessing necessarily that there are career trajectories and there are goals that you want to necessarily achieve. You got to do that in such a way that is conducive to the opportunities that you're provided, where you exist within a respective industry. And then in some cases, it's augmentation in terms of role, either within an organization or with another organization to offer new opportunities in that space. And, you know, I often hear, and I don't know if you see the same thing, Kennedy, but it's there's so many open positions in cybersecurity that it's, you know, I think it's that first year getting that under your belt opens up way more opportunity for career expansion, either with another company or even in a different direction. I think it's important to keep that in mind as you respectfully think about career pathing. But again, I think precision in this case so early is good as a goal, but don't let it necessarily dictate really decisions in the near term. And potentially that could change. But it's, again, it's going to be contextual, right? Representatively the person assesses their options. Anyway, sorry, yes. Kennedy.
No, it's kind of like what I was saying with earlier with like even just staying on the same team, but maybe asking for a different project or seeing where you can try to dive into those different sectors and get that kind of experience to see if that is something that you would like.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think at this point, so early, it's trying to experience everything, right? And see mm-hmm. what necessarily sticks or what encourages future necessarily enhancement in certain skill sets. And it was when I had come into my career, was going through, and I had then found a love of digital forensics. I got an opportunity and a need arose where forensics and discovery was required. And the option basically fell into my lap again. And in some cases, this wasn't directed, right? Because I was making decisions on that ideal hacker that I wanted to be, the red teamer. And this opened up. And basically, you know, you're necessarily the salient choice because you're the technical person on staff, went through it, fell in love with it. And it's just another. And so I consider myself purple now. I have to, because I like both sides of the house, as it were. But it's that was fundamental, was that I was open to that opportunity. And in some cases, I did resist it. I'm not going to lie. I was like, well, you know, it's not necessarily where I'm thinking about this. But representatively, those skills inform, you know, the way I think about red team operations and things of that nature. So it's certainly, to your point, Kennedy, contributive to other skill sets. It's not just for certain paths, it's this skill. They often bleed over into other areas as well. Excellent. Now, the other element here is starting out is the thought or how important mentorship in cybersecurity would be to for a first year analyst. And how would you ascribe that someone go about finding a mentor?
Yes, I think mentorship is pretty awesome because you're able to ask questions to other people that might not be in your leadership chain. And it might be kind of questions that you might find embarrassing, although no question is embarrassing in my opinion, or questions that you may not feel comfortable going to them with and you'd want to go to somebody else with. And being able to have that openness to ask those questions is something that I found at least really helpful for me. There's a lot of different places that you can go to and a lot of different organizations and such. And I wrote down a few here. Excuse me if I mispronounce any of these. I'm so sorry. But we have RICE's Cyber Organization. They support Hispanic and Latino cyber and technology community. We have Cyber Warrior, which is a nonprofit to deliver hands-on lab-driven technical training in cybersecurity to people of all backgrounds, regardless of economic status. We have cyber.org, which is projects for students like Project Reach that connects K-12 schools to historically Black colleges and universities for their cybersecurity and computer science programs. We have Women in Cybersecurity, which connects women in the cybersecurity fields, which as a reminder, it's only about 20 to 25% of cybersecurity workers that are women. So I would say just definitely do the research and find out if there is an organization that works for you, if there's any local organizations that are close to you, because diversity and it's really important to this field, and kind of being able to get that mentor as well to be able to ask these questions, kind of get more insight and see if there's somebody that is possibly in one of the fields that you're looking into, diving into, if they are able to answer any of those questions that you might have or lead you towards this path.
Wonderful. And great organizations. Again, one of our founders, Alan Paller, very, very much in the space of providing opportunity and building interest in cybersecurity across all ages was so important. And again, great that you mention it here, because it does open opportunities, right? This is a highly, highly sought after field, and providing opportunities in that space is such great work. And again, we have to do everything we can to support those organizations and those looking for opportunities, to guide them to these organizations so they can find their path into cybersecurity. That's wonderful. Thank you. Now, given that, Kennedy, so if someone is listening, is considering a career switch into cybersecurity, what should they do to prepare and ensure a successful transition?
I think they should kind of reach out to some of these organizations that I either listed or that you researched and you found. I'm sure they'd be willing to, like I said, ask or answer any questions that you might have. Even go to your local library and grab a cybersecurity book. I know they even have some Security Plus books that you can use to kind of help you study, and a local library card is free. Watch videos on YouTube. There are so many thousands and thousands of videos that are really beneficial for this cybersecurity field. Attend conferences, both virtually or in person, if you have the opportunity to. Connect with people that are in the cybersecurity community, and learn more about those different career paths that we had already talked about. Don't be scared. There are so many resources out there that can help you. So just make sure you do your research and find what works for you.
Wonderful. Well, Kennedy, that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much again.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Our pleasure. And again, to our audience, thank you. Again, those looking to move into cybersecurity, some great thoughts here from Kennedy. And we appreciate your feedback. podcast@cisecurity.org. And with that, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.